at our prayer time yesterday, we had a really good group of people. I had like almost 20 people here, and it was just so much fun. I miss not having all of you there. I hope that more and more of you can make that once a month commitment. It's amazing. But we looked at a couple of verses in Jude, of all places. Anybody even know where the book of Jude is? It's in the Bible, yeah. It's easy because it's the second to the last book of the Bible, which is easy. It's only one chapter long. And so here's some of the verses that we looked at yesterday, and it's just segue to a few things I want to talk about. Jude says, as he's kind of finishing up, he says, "Dear friends, let's build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. And in this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy even to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue some others, by snatching them from the flames of judgment." It's very descriptive, isn't it? "And then show mercy to still others, but do it with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." Maybe you've heard that phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin. This is where that really comes from. There's just a couple of key things here just to look at. Build each other up. How do you build up a fellow Christ follower? How are you doing that during the week? What things on purpose are you actually doing to try to build someone up? Building them up in their faith. What does it mean to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit? Man, just to be led by the Spirit to pray can mean so many things. But boy, life changes when you pray in the Spirit and you're waiting the mercy. There's the first time I see that word mercy, and that's kind of the focus this morning. How do I show mercy? Well, I await the mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give me, and then I'll keep myself safe in God's love as I'm waiting that mercy. And then this part about showing mercy to those whose faith is wavering, this idea of rescuing others by snatching them out of the flames of judgment, where our thoughts of we're trying to love people into the kingdom, we're not trying to sell something, we're trying to actually just save people from a drowning boat. Show mercy still to others. We hate their sin, but we love them. And I just love that idea of what we talked about yesterday in our prayer time. We just had such a great time bragging on you guys, bragging on the church, and what God's been doing in and through you as mercy is shown. I segue that into what I'd like you guys to do this morning, to think about a few things of one of the greatest ways to show mercy, in my opinion, is to say, once in a while, "I'm sorry." To actually look somebody in the eyes and say, "Wow, did I mess up? I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me?" And that whole idea of something that's for some of us is so hard to do. Oh, we may say we've said we're sorry. We may forgive, but it's hard for us to sometimes say the words. It's hard for some of us to look someone in the eye that we've hurt and to say, "I'm sorry." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to give you guys three Bible verses to look at together. And I'm going to ask us to do something we haven't done in quite a while, is we're going to kind of break up into little huddle groups like 5-6 people at the most. Here's how the huddle group rules are. You just read what it says and talk about it. You make sure everybody gets a chance to talk that wants to, because we're not going to be very long, but you don't have to say anything. Nobody has to talk. You can just listen. You can just be in the group and just watch and say, "This is awesome," okay? So that's what our huddle groups are, okay? So if you could quickly get into groups and then look at these three verses. Sorry, that top thing is off a little bit. But we're going to look at 1 John 1:9. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, James 5:16. If you would get into those circles real quick right now, then I'll give you directions, okay? Okay. Before I let some of you guys comment on what you said, look at these statements about apologizing real quick. Tell me if you agree or disagree with these statements, all right? Here's one, for example. It's kind of blurry. Don't apologize if you're still going to do the same things you were sorry for. Agree or disagree? Okay, we got a mix. I like it. It's interesting. The question, yeah, it's a question of attitude. Yeah, right. If you're going to keep doing the things you're doing, why would you ask for forgiveness, right? I will never apologize for being me. You should apologize for asking me to be anything else. Agree or disagree? It's a pretty common statement I hear in the real world. It's an interesting statement. It's an interesting statement. But it is very me-focused, isn't it? Yeah. How about this one? The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. Agree or disagree? Okay, yeah. All right, we're getting real literal here on some of our comments. That's right. This is kind of small, but it's good. Apologizing does not always mean that you're wrong and the other person is right. It just means that you value your relationship more than your ego. A lot of you agree with that. So that you agree that you should apologize even if you're not really sorry? Because that's what that's saying. Okay, all right, that's interesting. Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that. All right, let me hear just a few comments from what did some people say in your group that was interesting about what these three verses have in common? Sierra. Not just asking for forgiveness, but backing it up with action. Good. Mark? Okay, these aren't just individual things. This is a community. These are verses all about community or people. Yeah, good. Some obvious, real, really obvious things that were said. Okay, I'm not going to ask anybody. Just curious, any more comments? They're all conditional. There's if or right, when, that kind of idea. Right, exactly. Confession leads to forgiveness, which leads to healing. I like that. That's good. That is a good segue for the three. Because each of these does talk about that separation that sin causes, right? And each also speaks of the healing that God provides when we confess, whether it's to him or to others. It's interesting. Thank you, guys. You can go back to where you were before if you'd like to do that. I'll let you just real quickly get back to whatever normal is for you. I shared this with you a couple of months ago just as a passing by. I'd like to spend a little bit more time on this sixth step of apologizing to someone, asking forgiveness, and why it is so important for us as followers of Jesus that we learn how to say I'm sorry and mean it and what it really all entails and making sure it's the correct atmosphere and environment for it. So real quickly, I'm just going to just run through these, maybe give some personal examples of them and things. But first of all, is the obvious, is to state the offense. And we don't state the offense. We say it in a matter-of-fact way. I did this. I did this. You're right to be mad, or you're right to be hurt. And you say it. And it's not like, well, if, you know, remember the conditions of the verses? That doesn't work in this one. You can't say, well, if I did something to hurt you, I'm sorry. No, no, no. No, in a real apology, you're acknowledging I did something that hurt somebody or did something that was wrong, okay? So state the offense. State the offense, all right? Number two, and one of the reasons to state the offense is because it might not actually be the thing you need to apologize for. When you state what you're sorry about and they're going, well, that's not it at all. Oh, well, what's going on? And it just opens up maybe some good communication. The second step, though, is important, is to admit you were wrong. One of the hardest things for a lot of us to say, I was, can't do that very easily. But I think one of the greatest testimonies of a follower of Jesus is that they, when they will admit a fault, not to be a doormat, not to be someone who's just the victim or the wuss, that kind of spirit. That, you know, it's not what that's about. But I think one of the strongest, like that saying said, a bravest person is someone who will stand and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Had the strangest conversation with my mom and dad when I was in my early 20s, in college, I think. And they were really, really serious. It was a big deal to them. They sat me down, looked me in the eye, and they apologized to me for some things that they did in my childhood. And it was really a big deal to them. They wanted me to know how sorry they were, that they overdid it. They did some things wrong. And I was like, no, I deserved everything that happened. You know, anything they did or said to me, I deserved and more. But they actually just looked me in the eye and said, I'm sorry. And what a great model that was for me. I'll never forget that, even though I wasn't really even that offended, that my parents, these people in authority in my life would reach down and apologize to me meant a lot. Admit you were wrong. That's an important thing to do. The third step in this six-step apology that I'm giving you guys is to actually say the words, I'm sorry. Actually apologize. It's really interesting listening to people talk sometimes. And they kind of go around the tree and around the tree and around the tree and around the tree, but they don't actually ever acknowledge the tree. You know, you'll talk about stuff, and yeah, I felt bad, I'm sorry, but they'll never actually say, I am sorry. I am sorry to you. And I think that's good. Some are just the opposite. Some of you just say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And you just say, I'm sorry so much that it doesn't mean anything. But to be able to do from both extremes, to get to that balance of looking somebody in the eye when you've hurt them and to say, I am so sorry. I hurt because you hurt. And that's an important third step, okay? Fourth, ask if they can forgive you. Ooh, ouch. That one's hard, I think, sometimes. Will you forgive me? Can you forgive me? Once when I definitely hurt my wife's feelings and just hurt our relationship to a point, and a long time ago, long, long time ago, and when I actually asked her that question, it took her a little while. I was surprised. Come on, Miss Saint. Holy of God. Holy woman of God. But I, you know, will you please forgive me? And she kind of looked at me and thought, or looked away. You know. It had to be earned a little bit. That apology needed to be earned. But it's important to ask that. It's one thing just to say you're sorry, but you haven't built the whole bridge yet. You've just started building the bridge. Because it takes that positive response from the other person to complete that process that needs to happen, that hopefully will happen. You can start it off. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Helps bring that to reconciliation. The fifth step is then to ask for accountability. Also very hard to do. Most of us never, ever take it this far. Okay, person, I did this. I was wrong. I am sorry. Can you forgive me? And if they say yes, then you're actually saying, well, I give you permission now. You can hold me accountable. You can call me on this anytime you need to, anytime you want. You call me on this. Remind me of what I said. And that saying that, giving somebody the freedom to call you on something, or to remind you is a great deal. It gives power to that person that you've hurt that I think is very honoring, very godly. Then finally, to ask for anything else that there might be. You never want to end the conversation before first saying, is there anything else? Before we stop this conversation for now and we continue our relationship, is there anything else that's on your mind, anything on your heart? And to allow that communication back and forth, that is so important. Six steps. And I just wonder, you know, in your life, how many times you've needed to say, I'm sorry, but you've gotten away with not having to do it. Or you even sacrifice the relationship. It was more important to sacrifice the relationship than to actually humble yourself and ask forgiveness. And I want to make that challenge to you. I think it's a challenge from the Lord to say, let's do everything to be above reproach, to everything to be as honest and real and loving as we possibly can to everyone around us. And be willing to say I'm sorry, and then to actually say, and would you help me to change? I want to change. I want God to change me. Would you be a part of that? And letting that conversation happen is so important. I've asked Shauna Ray to come up. Shauna Ray's gone through this material, so it's not a big surprise to her. But I just asked for a personal example from her of how she had to ask forgiveness using this process, correct? Is that what you understood me asking you to do?
The sixth step is actually a really, really important tool at our house. Every once in a while, what's that? There's also one more step. It's pre-forgive. We're human, and when you agree to follow this program with people do the same thing over and over again. And if you have it in your mind, like, okay, for example, my brother and I, he's such a jerk, and if he does something, I'm gonna be mad, right? But if I pre-forgive his behavior, knowing he's human, next time he does it, yeah, whatever. You know, it's not a big deal. So that being said, we had agreed to do this. I was mad, and I wanted to be mad, and I didn't want to follow this. And so I'm going to be mad, and I'm going to let you have it. I am so tired of you being this way. Amy and I are in a very big fight. And Mr. Jeff, yes, well, he's raising his hands in the back row. He comes storming upstairs, and he says, knock it off. You guys agreed to follow the rules and not act this way. I wanted to be mad, but I couldn't be because he was right. I had made a covenant not to behave this way in my family. And so in that moment, I had to stop, and it really changed my anger. It changed my attitude, and it changed our family relationship. And in that moment, I owned my own part of it, and I said, you're right. I did it. I behaved in a way I said I wouldn't. I was wrong. And in that moment, as I started to redo and go through all those six steps of apology to my family, instead of being filled with grrr at each other, God's peace came back, and we were able to work it out, and it changed us all from that point forward.
A great example. Thank you for that, Shauna Ray. Yeah, sure. Oh, that's another wonderful talk. Yeah, that's a whole nother talk. I find personally, it's an important question. What about, you know, when you're waiting for somebody else to apologize to you, right? And I would just, yeah. Good husband, Bill. Just say, you don't know what it's about. You were wrong. Here's the quick answer. Is what we're talking about today, we cannot put on to other people. We can't ask, say, you need this list right now, and you need to apologize to me. You can't do that. This is all about looking in the mirror and saying something that I know I've done. There's some great tools of talking about, you know, how we can try to restore a relationship. And when someone's hurt us, you can never force someone else to apologize, obviously. They've got to be ready and want to do that themselves. And that may take a long time. But I think the main point for this morning is it's so easy, isn't it? It's so much easier to think about other people's, the way they've hurt us. So much easier to think that way. And what I want to challenge you as we leave today is, what might God show you? Saying, boy, I need to say I'm sorry. I need to apologize for something when the time is right, and to go through this and to let the healing begin. I'm pretty sure if you start doing that, I'm pretty sure the way I know how God works in my life is when I start working on me, I let him work on me. Then all of a sudden, things start happening around me where relationships start being restored. And the people that I'm mad at, they come to me, or things change, and God honors and blesses and does great things. And so that would be my challenge, just a simple statement is work on yourself, work on what you can do, and pray and wait for what God's going to do to bring others into reconciliation. Okay? So that's a great question. So let's do this as we just close. I want just to ask you that you would just close your eyes. Let's just pray for a second. Lord, I just simply ask that you would continue to show me ways that people that I've hurt in any way, or things that I just need to own up to. And Lord, I want to be a light for you. I want to be a positive role model. And I know, Lord, that one of the best ways I can do that is to model Jesus' behavior and just being humble and vulnerable. And I just pray that our church and our people, Lord, we would be people that are working on restoring relationships rather than tearing them up. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to ask forgiveness, to confess our sins to one another. Thank you for always being the God who forgives us. I know that this is not a magic formula. Lord, I know that this idea of apologizing doesn't guarantee that other people are going to change or that they'll accept us or they'll forgive us. But we know we've done everything we can to resolve conflict, and that will demonstrate your love. And that's what I pray for more than anything else. So God, help us. If you're showing us even a face, or there's a name that's come up into our mind as we've talked about this, help us now to take steps toward action and to asking for forgiveness in a way that honors you and will build this relationship up. I thank you in Jesus' name. Here, I'm going to close with these great words from Colossians 3. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anybody who offends you. Forgive them. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And so be thankful. Be thankful. Great challenges from the Word. Thank you for today. God bless you guys. Have a great, great rest of the weekend. I encourage lots of good conversation about this stuff. All right? All right. God bless you guys. Go be the church.